call me in order. Take a roll call, please.
Steele.
Here.
Wendt.
Here.
Couser.
Here.
Miller. Absent. Smith.
Here.
Cable.
Here.
Donaldson. Absent.
Are there any changes or additions to the agenda for tonight? If not, the agenda stands approved. And how about the minutes? Any changes or additions to the minutes of August 5, 2015? All right. The minutes will stand approved as well. Public comment? Anyone here wishing to provide public comment on issues other than are on the agenda tonight? Seeing none, we'll move on. And actually, if we could just pause for a moment. Jerry, would you take a moment and introduce yourself, please, to everybody?
Sure will. Jerry Moore. I'm the new Planning and Development Director. I came, just a little bit of background, I came from Polk County, worked there for about 16, 17 years. Worked on a number of development applications, rezonings, variance appeals, conditional use permits. Helped with the implementation of site plan drawings for non-residential improvements and that type of thing. Business signage request, many other things. I've been here 3 weeks. The staff have been awesome. It's been a good transition for me. I'm really looking forward to working with the Planning and Zoning Commission on future development applications that we get and on the comprehensive planning process that we're about to go through. I've been real impressed with the selection of Chris and Chris. I've been very impressed with the work that they've done so far and looking forward to working with them and you as we go through that process. So if something ever comes up with regard to the comp plan, Chris and Chris or I, or if there's something else that that you'd like to talk to me or staff about, please feel free to do that.
Great. Welcome. Good luck.
It's good to be here.
All right, then. New business. We have the draft presentation of the C2C long-range plan, and I believe we have our consultants with us to do that.
Absolutely. Chris Chancellor with MSA. Good to see you all again. It's been a little while, but how do I get it up on? Sorry. We have a quick PowerPoint. Well, the first part's quick, and then we're going to talk about kind of land use at the end with you guys, and hopefully not plan on taking too long this evening. But I plug that in. Isn't that the cable? Well,
do you have to push your?
Yeah, usually it's this one.
And then you're at the button. And then choose.
It's on duplicate.
And that concludes the presentation.
Yeah,
so
we're done.
If anybody has any questions.
Yeah, that's the power. So I just unplugged the VGI cable from there to there. Is there?
Is
there another?
I know to plug in the cords and push the split screen button.
Well, I know it works over there. Do you want me to just hop over?
So we're not running through there. We're going directly down to A.
So then this maybe has to be in.
And that's plugged in from that one.
I didn't hop back on the other computer.
Yeah, it's already on duplicate.
Is it because you connected to his computer?
I have it on the zip drive. I'll just do that. Bear with us for a minute. Sorry.
Maybe for my benefit. Maybe you tell me how long you've been on the commission.
Great idea.
Maybe introduce yourself and how long you've been on.
Well, we started here.
3 months.
Okay. Okay.
I'm Aaron Steele. I live northeast of Ames. I've been on six, seven months.
Okay.
Prior to that, though, you also. And I was on the Board of Adjustment briefly before
okay.
that.
How long were you on the Board of Adjustment?
About a year.
Okay.
I've been on the commission about a year and a half also. I started in January 2014, I think. And I live in Northwest Ames.
Okay. Thank you.
We didn't came on a whole lot of time. So it's kind of twice as large.
I love the comedy.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about the delay, but take about 10 minutes for this first part, and then the last part we're going to talk about land use and trails. Again, just introducing Story County, the lead on this plan, staff and you guys and the board and everyone else, the citizens task force and the project team that we've been working with. MSA is the lead. We have Chris from Confluence, Sean and I from MSA along with Jason Blaris, and then Britt Palmberg from Design Workshop has been working on the economic analysis chapter, economic prosperity. Again, the C2C plan, if any information just sticks to the top of your brain from this whole thing. If anybody asks you about the plan or you want additional information on something that we talk about tonight, and by all means, while I'm going through this, ask any questions you guys have. We'd be happy to answer them. The meeting at the Board of Supervisors was a back and forth, and it worked very well. So same thing here. But again, c2cplan.com is probably the best resource you can have. Everything's right in there. Newest stuff's on top. And we've added, schedule-wise, we're in August. We did our, September now, but we did our presentation to the board last week. You guys are this week. We have meetings on September 10th with the Citizens Task Force. That one starts at 5. We're going to do, it's still in the plan to do kind of pizza and social at 5, and then the meeting starts at 5:30, right? Okay.
Yes.
And then our project team meetings, where the first one will be in September, will be on the 15th. So go over that a little bit later. But on that C2C plan, we've added a couple things. One of them is we've added the scheduled meetings. So it's just a calendar, basically, in there that shows all the upcoming meetings. This one was on here. You know, all the as the dates have come up and as the times are set, we will update that. But if anyone was asking, you know, and we've had some while we've been going through this process here since the last time we met with you guys, people asking, you know, okay, what are the opportunities and that kind of thing? Where are they easy to find? They've been in the PowerPoints the whole time, but we added this page just so somebody can simply go there and find out when any of those meetings are and have the opportunity to provide input. The working draft outline, basically, this also is a separate page on that c2cplan.com. All of these ones in green basically are up on that site. And as you can see, basically they're in PDF format. You just go to that draft chapter's working outline on that C2C plan, and you can download any of those documents at this point. We have the introduction, chapter 1, chapter 2, which is the public input. At this point, we're still waiting on the surveys from the student surveys and the Iowa State survey to finish that, but that is where the summary of all the public input will be, as well as the meetings that we'll have in January, the open houses. We're working on vision, goals, and opportunity and objectives for the planning elements, but we do have a draft of Chapter 4, conservation of resources and recreation. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So
conservation of natural resources and recreation.
Yes. Chapter 4 has a draft up there. Chapter 5 has a draft up there now. And Chapter 6 we've also got some chapters up there. We have a full Appendix A, which is all those community indicators, which we went for through before. And then Appendix B is our most up-to-date version of the maps, both from the existing condition and then some of the ones that Chris has been working on and we'll talk about a little later. So, again, if you get the opportunity, you want to look at what we've done draft-wise. We didn't want to spend the entire evening tonight having you guys put to sleep looking through page after page after page. All of that information is there and contact information. So feel free to look at those when you have a chance and give us any edits or comments or, directives. That would be fantastic. Goals we're developing, again, we start with the existing conditions, we use the public input, and then we come up and existing plans to address each one of these elements. The ones that are probably, that have been broken out at this point as separate chapters are that economic prosperity, land use, and then the conservation of natural resources and recreation. Those are the separate chapters. All the other elements will be in that chapter 3, which is kind of the overarching comprehensive goals on housing and community facilities and transportation and that type of stuff. Basically, these will start with your overarching goal. Then we go through kind of objectives and then policies. The policies, and we had a good discussion with the Board of Supervisors about this as well. Those are the, aside from the future land use plan, the actual map, the policies are some of the most important pieces of this overall process, because as you guys, get rezonings and subdivisions and site plans and all those kind of things in the future, those are the things that you're really going to look at each one of those and say, okay, does this meet our policies and how in how Story County want to develop? And these get built out of the public input we've had, our input from you guys, our input from the board, and just the expertise that goes into the plan overall between staff and consultants and county officials. So those are as important as that future land use map, which you guys are familiar with and have used out of the framework that you have now. But reviewing, if you have some type of housing development come in that's looking at county, you want to make sure it meets up with your transportation policies, your housing policies, and your land use policies, and that at least it may not meet every one of them, but you want to go through them and say, okay, how does it fit with this? How does it fit with this? Because that's kind of the meat of this part of the plan. Any questions on that at this point? Okay. Public engagement activities. We went through this just to kind of lay out all the engagement activities that we have been done and will be coming up. Obviously, we have the website, you have staff, you have you guys, consultant team, the project team meetings. Again, they're moving to the first and third. We were having those on the second and fourth Tuesdays, but they are moving to the first and third. The task force are the second Thursdays. Planning and Zoning Commission meetings, Board of Supervisors. We have a youth survey. The community survey has been closed, and we have six. I think I have that in here, actually. I think we have 648, somewhere in there, total surveys. So a really good response rate on that. And really, the key to that is we have really, really good answers. And people were able to sort that data as needed down the road. And we got a lot of good input from that. The youth survey has also been very interesting. And those are open-ended questions for the youth. So, it's just kind of questions in terms of, what did you like about growing? What have you liked about growing up in Story County? And the only kind of identifying thing we put in there was like looking at school districts and having them say, I'm in Nevada School District or I'm in Ames School District. We've had good response. We'll have an ISU student survey this fall so that we can get some input from them that Leanne and I will be working on. And then again, the next big public notice meetings will be the plan review open houses in January. And then Chris has also, as part of that chapter chapter four, has had meetings with the conservation groups, the Ames Anglers, informally with the bike.
Yep, the Ames Bike Coalition.
And then a public kind of a public meeting with Natural Resource.
Yeah, McFarland.
At McFarland Conservation. With those folks and also meeting with the Conservation Board to talk about that chapter. So a lot of input on that side of the plan as well, a little more detailed in that sense. But the idea was that plan can be used by Story County Conservation as almost a standalone. It'll be part of this overall process, but they wanted to update what they had and be able to use that as a standalone. So there's been a little more effort into making that plan and doing some public input specifically targeted at those folks or for those folks. We had the community input meetings completed, and then, again, the citizen survey. It was open May through July. We'll keep the youth survey open through this month, and the Iowa State survey will be developed. All the survey results, if anybody says, well, where's all the results, where are those going to be, they will be in Appendix B. That whole appendix is basically going to be unfiltered survey results. So it's not in the front of the plan, so nobody has to dig through all of that to get to kind of the meat and bones, but it will be in there. So if anybody has a question about where's this in the plan, how can, you know, I want to make sure my input was recorded, that's where it'll be. Again, youth survey and other surveys are right on the front of the website. First thing is you open, and then, of course, the most up-to-date presentations and are in PDF format below that. We had copies at City Halls, email, Facebook, all that kind of stuff, and got a good result. Overall, we got some really good things from this, and I think a few of you had seen part of this presentation that I went through with the Citizens Task Force, and just going through the survey results and talking about things that people wanted to see this plan address, things that they loved about Story County. Overall, you know, near the job, the small town rural atmosphere, and quality schools were overall the winning. Why we live in Story County, why the quality of life is high here. And then things that they would improve, people looked at it, retail shopping, improving recreational opportunities, and then improving bike and pedestrian. So a couple of those were addressing, you know, the expanded retail shopping. It's not something that I don't think the county's going to get into that too much as part of this effort, because your chances of having a lot of retail for people in the unincorporated areas is slim. You know, that's built to the scale that'll be provided by municipalities and that kind of thing. But again, the intent of this plan was that it would be used by the cities as well as they update their plans. So all of this data, even though it may not be directly applicable to this plan and, you know, Story County's efforts to provide land use and regulations for the unincorporated area, these will be the data will be useful down the line for other entities as well within the county as they use it. Community input meetings, we had those in June. Story City, Ames, Colo, and Huxley. Like I said, those open houses, we'll probably still have one in Ames, but we'll choose three other cities to have the open houses in January so that we can kind of spread some of this the public input around in that sense. And those open houses will be draft copies of the plan, posters, maps, that kind of thing. The way we normally do those types of functions is we open it, you know, maybe we start at 6, that kind of thing, and we have 15 minutes for people to just mingle and look at the materials and that kind of thing. Then we do a formal presentation for 15, 20 minutes, and then we have kind of workshop and worksheets afterwards where we ask people questions and have them sit in groups and that kind of thing. So just to get more input that way and actually get them to kind of look at the draft document. But again, those won't be till January, and that'll be the next kind of big public input in, as far as countywide meetings. At those community meetings in June, we did a SWOT analysis, very similar to what you guys did around that time prior to those community meetings. And we basically had the community input meetings, we did our SWOT analysis, got our issues, threats and weaknesses, opportunities and strengths. And those will go into, as I said before, the elements of the plan. We take those directly, apply them to what elements they fit, and come up with those goals and objectives to move forward with the county on how to implement the plan and how best to achieve the vision, which has already been established with the C2C visioning process. We went through that. This is probably a little different iteration than you guys saw, but basically went through all of those elements. And this is a copy of Chapter 2 in draft format, just basically showing where that public input and how kind of the chapters laid out. Just in general, all of the template that we used in terms of graphics. And for these particular, for like the natural amenities kind of thing, what we did was we basically listed all of the weaknesses and threats that were reported at all of the meetings and your guys' meetings, all the community meetings, anything else we got, put those in there as you know, one page so somebody can look through and say, okay, here's everything that was listed in all of those community input meetings during the SWOT analysis phase of this plan. And then strengths and weaknesses, same sort of thing. So that's the general layout of Chapter 2, which is that public input. Upcoming meetings. Project team meetings, again, next one is the 15th at 9 a.m. here. Task force is the 10th at 5 o'clock, and then the actual meeting starts at 5:30. We'll have the plan review open houses in January, and then, of course, meetings with Board of Supervisors and Planning and Zoning Commission last month, this month, again in November, and then you guys will have a workshop in March, basically, to go over kind of the final drafts of the plan and address final changes, that kind of thing. But that November, we'll have a much more draft, complete draft. There's a partial draft, obviously, on the website now, but you'll see a pretty good format because we don't have any meetings scheduled for December. It's just a busy time, a lot of people doing stuff, so we kind of skip December. But we'll hit those the open houses in January with that full draft plan ready to go. So generally, that is the kind of the overview of what's going on at this point. Any questions on all of this before we jump to Mr. Shires here and talk about land use and trails? Are we on the right track for you folks? Okay. Excellent.
All right.
Good. Tell you.
Now the fun part. Let's talk about a few of these chapters. I'm going to run through a little bit of what we've been doing related to Chapter 4, Conservation of Natural Resources and Recreation. They wanted the word conservation first. Very important, so we got that. And then the next big thing, the land use section, Chapter 5. These are, especially with the direction of the county we've received, on the importance of the conservation plan, and of course land use already being one of the most important, significant elements of a comprehensive plan, the two heavy lifting chapters. These are, I think, you guys, on a more regular basis, will be touching. The conservation chapter, obviously, has been heavily driven by input we've received through the Conservation Board, our public meeting with them, had some individual meetings with a couple of private groups, Ames Bike Coalition, as Chris said, and the Ames Anglers, which was a great group to meet with. So when I retire, I'm joining their group. They fish too much, though. But just a couple of highlights. So some of that input we've been receiving, as it mainly relates to both the conservation chapter and the land use chapter, has been very much driven by these conservation groups, these recreational groups. And it's not necessarily a surprise in some of the feedback we received from them. You know, they're excited about an opportunity to approach this from a comprehensive plan level, that they think this is, you know, great to have this chapter included within a city, within a county's comprehensive plan. They've stated there's a desire to do a countywide inventory of sensitive areas. We want to limit sprawl, watch out for water quality, you know, encourage the development in close to town, again, watching that sprawl, find those low-hanging fruit areas where we can. We do have rural growth. Watch out our impact on the river valleys and the wooded areas. Hey, do we have opportunities to restore wetlands? Do we have opportunities to do maybe a new wetland complex? I left that specific comment in there, maybe somewhere around Roland. I thought that was kind of neat because definitely as you, even if you look at one of our aerial photo maps here, you can see all the potholes from the old original pothole prairies, some of which probably don't exist in their natural form anymore. And, gosh, let's not forget our trails connectivity. So these comments are all being synthesized into the policies and input in this conservation section. And so the policies that are contained on the C2C plan website are just a working draft. What we'll be doing when we meet next with the Conservation Board is going one by one through these goals and objectives and then potential strategies, policies, is refining them, making sure it's a manageable number, making sure we're hitting issues. And so you guys will see this section updated. But as you're reviewing it, as you're looking at it, boy, I think probably Jerry, no. If you see anything, if you have any thoughts or ideas, we'd welcome comments and input at any time. And when you're also on the C2C plan, that Appendix D has about 24 base maps, 24 maps that I don't know if you even have them. Maybe you can show.
Yeah.
24 base maps that you know show a lot of great data about our soils conditions, topography, wetlands, floodplain, and I think you guys might find that very valuable. And so, especially when you're looking at a development proposal, rezoning proposal, changes, when people are coming before you, just as some good base data. And so you'll have that as an element of the plan, this Appendix D. And it's going to take forever to load.
No, you got fast.
This is a lot of maps.
Yep.
And so sometime when you got an opportunity, flip through those. This is a lot of existing data that the county had that we were able to make graphically or that we took from the DNR website, talking about soils and natural conditions, corn suitability ratings, or basically the corn value of land, the soy value of land.
Where's that? What the cool one is? Well, watersheds is an important one.
Almost to the end.
Okay.
You're talking the landform types.
Yeah.
As you guys may be aware, County Conservation has a 1975 conservation plan, and so we were able to take some of that old data that's still very relevant today and kind of refresh it in a new form, really showing the different types of landforms in the county. And it's kind of a neat little, up a couple.
Now it's slowed down.
Yeah, see, now that I said it. But either way, so yes, there was the beginning of it, part of it. Keep one more.
Okay, one more.
And so it talks about different landform types and how they're spread apart through the county. And so the old plan, which is done very much in a black and white, hand-drawn, very, very simple, like that simple format is a little harder to read, and so we're able to regenerate it. And I think it gets you a great idea about the diversity of landform we have in this county. And then you start realizing, this is exactly why the wind farms are where they are. You know, you can definitely see from topography and from landform. And you also start seeing the remnants of some of the original wetlands, the pothole prairies. Pothole wetlands, near Roland or south and east of Roland. And it kind of is real telling on some of the original forms that's hard to see today. But either way, flip through those maps. Those are definitely impacting what we're writing in both the conservation section and land use section.
Okay. Back to the...
Yeah, might as well. Why not? Okay. So, and I know that's a little hard to read. What we've already started, if you go back to that trails map.
Trails?
Okay. Yeah. Come on, next. Yes, that one. We have built upon some of the existing county base data on where are the existing trails, both in town and in the county, where are the existing parks, and then what were some of the valued drainage way corridors, green belts through town or through the county, and then I've identified them on the plan as whether it's a water trail, a soft trail, a paved trail, on street, off street, and then taking the input we were receiving at these public groups, we're adding new proposed trail locations and then trying to prioritize some of those trail improvements, some of the rec improvements. So this really turns into a proposed or future trails and greenway plan. That as the conservation board is doing their wish list on improvements they want to make, as a property might come up for sale or may be available, as there's funding available to do a trail section or there's a desire to seek funding for trail section, they can refer back to this plan. And so this also helps drive the land use plan just a bit, because obviously an area that we may show as sensitive or should maybe be preserved as a green belt might not be the best next location for, say, some kind of ag industry or a rural subdivision. Okay. Any questions on kind of that natural that conservation and natural resources recreation chapter, and really what will be the driving map for that is this Future Trails and Greenway plan. Okay. Now, future land use. I want to explain a little bit the thought process behind the future land use plan. What's great about Story County here is we've done so much great base work already. So here's a map that shows the existing land uses today based on county tax records. So you've got, obviously, if you look at the little colors there, a little hard to see on this screen, but this is available still, again, on the C2C plan website. The light green is agricultural. The dark green is considered agricultural dwelling, at least by county taxation. And then you've got red is commercial, blue is industrial, and then yellow is residential. But you can see we're obviously mostly ag. That makes sense. And then as we get closer into the towns, we get a little more intense. And obviously inside the cities themselves, there's a whole mix of the different land uses. From that, if you want to flip to the next one, we can build upon the work from the existing Story County Development Plan, the framework map, as well as taking consideration the Ames Urban Fringe Area map, which I really have to give everybody involved a lot of credit for this level of forethought, that you'd work with one of the major cities to do this joint planning effort. That takes a lot of good cooperation by both the city and county. I think everybody should be very proud that this effort has taken place. And so we've got that planning effort. We have this existing framework plan from which we will build the new land use plan for the county. And so that framework plan takes in account the Ames Urban Area Fringe Plan. It takes in account the 2 mile, the laser pointer is trying to point in the sky. These rings around these urbanized areas, around the cities. And it also, if you see like this little red square, it also takes in account some of these developed areas, these little townlets that are not incorporated, these unincorporated little towns, and recognizes them. You want to flip to the next one, please. So what we're proposing to you guys tonight is that we build upon this framework plan and use the existing land use categories from the framework plan. So it's a familiar vocabulary, except we do want to make a few little changes. And so we have the natural resource areas, and those are generally these little green areas along the green belts. You want to zoom back out. The agricultural conservation areas generally is all those areas in white. The rural residential areas, they're too hard to see on this map at this scale, but they're yellow. And then the mixed-use areas are the little red blocks, generally where we have those old unincorporated towns. I think that term mixed-use is a little confusing, so I think what we'd recommend is using a term like rural village area, and then it recognizes that you have a few houses, you may have a business, you may have some ag industry, that we don't just automatically say at a land use plan level that those are legal non-conforming uses, that we acknowledge that those uses exist, that those unincorporated communities are in the county. We identify the 2 mile buffer surrounding the towns since they have generally are doing their extraterritorial review for subdivision, although obviously the county's still zoning those areas. And then we take into account the Ames Urban Fringe, as well as adding a category for industrial and for commercial. Because you know you're going to have, and you do have, some industrial development and some commercial development. Industrial, it's biofuel plants, typically, that type of thing, something ag-related. And commercial, sometimes it's your implement dealers, where they make sense to be in a county area versus where the need is versus in a city. Okay,
on that note, Chris, and maybe you can clarify mm-hmm. this, we don't, and I don't think we anticipate at this point in painting large swaths of area in commercial or industrial.
Yes.
These are categories that exist that if someone came and petitioned you guys and the county and the board to change to that classification, the first step in that process would be for them to come and change the future land use plan and go through that process of, okay, I want to change this map here to show this so that when they go for the rezoning request or if they do it concurrently, that the zoning request, the rezoning request from ag to industrial or ag to commercial matches the future land use plan. So the we're not going to do the bubble thing where we say, okay, well, all of this is going to be commercial. You know, we just anticipate that that's a needed category so that as the county is petitioned in the future, it's an option that's available, especially if they're looking to do a full rezoning. Would that be?
Yeah.
Do you anticipate that being the case?
And that you know, great point to bring up. And a lot of the heavy lifting on that very microscopic analysis of what type of development, you know, specifically that occurred in individual areas, has occurred within the area most likely to see that level of development in the Ames fringe area plan. So what we're proposing in the future land use plan is we acknowledge the Ames urban fringe. We acknowledge certain existing land uses that are already in the county. And this is just based on the existing use map. We acknowledge a two-mile buffer around the city, but more from a policy standpoint. The county still needs to establish zoning in those areas and have a land use map that reflects that. But then give you guys a base set of policies to help make those decisions to either say yes or no, or I should say recommend yes or no, on those rezoning requests, you know, whether it's a great idea to have a rural subdivision there or not, whether it's a great idea that there's an ag industry business there or not. With this, you know, kind of these overarching goals is that, you know, we're going to preserve and protect ag land, valuable ag land, as well as the sensitive natural resource areas, and that we're going to really limit that urban sprawl, especially from a county level. Selfishly, the county has limited resources to provide services, and so if you allow a rural, and I'm preaching to the choir on this one, but to allow a rural subdivision to go in off of a gravel road, what's the first thing that happens when people move in there? Hey, county, you got to pave this road. I pay all these taxes. Why is this a gravel road? So we want to get ahead of that. And I think one thing that Story County has done right for years is you have stayed ahead of that.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have that level of problem with the small rural subdivisions that we definitely see in other areas, other counties, I should say, in central Iowa.
So I was just going to add, part of our task is part of this and looking at the analysis, the audit that was done by staff on your framework plan. One part of that was to be more competitive, and it's my feeling, and we don't have to go this route, but it's my feeling that by offering some of those categories and those opportunities, you will be more competitive because somebody's not immediately going to look at it and say, oh, there's not an opportunity for any commercial development whatsoever outside city limits. It may not be on the map right now, but by putting it into the plan as a, you know, as a classification that is available and that type of thing, you are edging towards that being competitive and economic prosperity if it's an option. The good part is they'll go through the development review process that allows you to address things like traffic and utilities and natural resources and all of that kind of stuff, and really scrutinize that and look at it on a case-by-case basis. Because inevitably, I mean, you know, we could put a whole section in industrial, but Story County probably doesn't want to go into the if you future land use it or zone it, they will come situation. You want people to come and petition, you know, this commission and ask and go through that development review process that does weed out a lot of those things that cause land use conflicts between unlike uses.
And then if we have those very clear policies, even somebody examining the plan can go, oh, yeah, boy, you know, it says that we should do this, this, and this, and this. I clearly don't meet those tests. I understand my answer is probably going to be no if I petition. The one thing that is not shown on this map, and it's just that we haven't finished the work yet related to the conservation plan, is this map will get a lot more green. It does need to show those conservation areas, those green areas, especially that were already identified in the framework plan. And then we would envision some expansion of that too.
A lot of those are blue right now.
Yeah,
too.
And they're not very developable anyway. They have a lot of value as a conservation area, mm-hmm. as a protected area. So with that, that was the last one. Questions on our approach, and I guess I should ask even on the conservation plan. Questions on our approach to the future land use scenario. So you're going to have a chapter that has all these, in essence, land use and growth policies. It'll have this framework-based land use map. And I was going to say on the conservation side. Oh, yeah, thank you. And detailed definitions of those land use classifications and how they translate into zoning.
Yep.
So what zoning are they compatible with? So questions on that land use chapter.
I guess my question would be more for staff, which is, we get this plan done and we get this plan identified. How do we codify these policies and recommendations into kind of actionable guidance, right? So if somebody wants to come in and develop a rural subdivision, how do we determine yes it's okay or no it's not okay? I mean, we have the recommendations, but you know, for a lack of maybe we do it through zoning, maybe we do it through how do we apply our desires for what happens to land into an actionable policy that when developers want to develop something, they say, oh, well, let's not buy that property for this development because it's designated as this something and likely not going to be approved, right?
Yeah, and I would say at first, a lot of that discussion occurs at staff level. So you as a planning commission don't have to see those requests when people come to us and ask, well, I got this piece of land and I want to do this to it. We look at the current land use framework plan, and we look at our land development regulations. We're like, it has this designation for land development plans. This current zoning. What you're proposing is in line with the policies on the current county development plan, so likely will not be supported by the commission or the board. So that's generally how it comes to them. And when it comes to you, a lot of times in those cases, it's kind of a gray area. It's not really clear on the plan. It's not really clear in our land development regulations whether or not the proposal would be supported. And that's kind of where you guys come in and put your heads together and you make that decision, you make that recommendation to the board, when the board's adjusted and they ultimately decide. So it kind of happens over time as development occurs on an ongoing basis.
Right. So Aaron and I had this discussion after last month's meeting talking about, you know, if somebody comes in and says, I bought these 50 acres and I want to turn this into a rural subdivision. Really, the guidance that we have now is, all right, there's requirements for minimum lot size and setbacks and, you know, water drainage. And if they meet all of that and if their plan meets all of that, then, you know, the answer is, even though that's great farmland, all right, I mean, can we really say, there's no policy that says we can deny that because we'd like to leave it as farmland or it backs up to a, you know, natural resource area or something.
And I think that's, Mr. Harris can also elaborate on this. That's kind of what we're hoping to get from this process. More fleshed out as a county development plan from our current county development plan to in it contain policies that do give us more clear direction whether or not when we are making those decisions, you know, yes, we can say yes to this one, no, we can't, and here's why.
And let me add to that. So that's exactly what you're asking for is exactly what your comprehensive plan is going to give you. And I actually completely respect the struggle maybe you're going through right now because you don't have that. Is from the comprehensive plan, and in particular this land use section, you all have a set of policies that, in fact, even in the staff report, you can, or in your own action, refer to specifically as justification for if it made sense to approve or made sense to deny based on, you know, your interpretation of those policies. That even to make it even more legally defensible, you cite them. Hey, you know what? We're recommending that area, the land use district, be changed to ag residential or residential, and that the zoning be changed to, you know, R1, whatever, based on the land use plan policies say, you know, as long as we've got this and we're doing this and it's close to this, that we should approve it. We'll recommend to the Board of Supervisors that it be approved. And so that's what that comprehensive plan is going to give you. And that falls right into state law. So state law says, hey, we can have zoning, cities and counties can have zoning, as long as it's in accordance with your comprehensive plan. Now, they leave that a little open to interpretation, but in accordance to comprehensive plan, as long as you can cite your growth policies, your land use policies that say it makes sense. Or on the flip side, you got it designated as ag, it's zoned as ag, somebody wants to do the rural subdivision, you look at your policies and go, hey, the Lisa, the suitability, the ag land value of this is too high, no way. Well, you got a policy that would support that statement. And, you know, if high value, you know, farmland should be preserved for agricultural use. It's a great legal justification to say no and then recommend that to the supervisors.
Okay.
So I think if we get the policies written right, and that's where a lot of that heavy lifting will be, I think you're going to have those tools to help justify your decisions and help you make those decisions.
I'm trying to figure out what I think about the idea of leaving a lot of this to interpreting a set of policy statements rather than putting a designation, a color on that.
Sure.
And that's what I don't know yet. My question is going to make it sound like I have a definite opinion, but I don't know.
Sure.
But it does feel a little bit disingenuous, like the county is not putting their cards on the table.
Sure.
And if we're doing our work, our planning work, then we are determining now which, at least to some extent, which areas already meet those policy statements.
Okay.
So I guess you could tell me, well, we're leaving it open-ended so that we can be flexible over time and ride the waves and change and, you know, see what happens. And therefore, you can apply those policy statements without committing yourself now. I guess I kind of see that viewpoint, but I wonder what do you say to me saying we're not planning if we're not doing that work now, applying those policy statements to whatever extent we can now?
I think if I saw one of the early maps you showed, okay, the white color is ag land and the yellow, right, you had kind of the colored, yeah, I think it's one of the first ones.
This one?
Yeah, maybe. But I think that's probably what you're looking for, which is
a
guidance map that says, you know, if you're looking to do a rural subdivision,
sure,
then you should target, if you want to do it in Story County, look at the map and look for this color. Right?
Yeah,
kind of, right?
Yeah, there's too much color on that map. I mean, that's a problem with that use framework.
Right.
But if our policy set is going to steer us toward never allowing commercial or industrial development in most places, then let's just not put any color on the map because that's our policy decision. I understand the need to have a policy set that helps us make decisions where there's gray area, but it just seems, let's shrink that gray area as much as I can. I think one of my issues with some of our policies in the past is that property owners don't know what their expectations should be for property. That even when it comes to zoning, there are lots of exceptions that can be applied, and we got to submit a property research request.
Sure.
And, you know, so to me, yeah, I still don't know what I think about that.
No, but I appreciate the struggle you're having on that, because you're right. You want to get people to...
For, right? It's to inform the public about what decisions we made as a whole about the future of land use in Story County. Not just give them a policy set.
We're designating your land that you own.
Right.
The future use is this.
So we could have a map with no red on it. You know, with no commercial designated, with no multifamily designated. There's nothing in the state law that says we have to allow for all those land uses. If that's the direction we're going, then why don't we just show a map?
I'll leave it completely open. The thing that I struggle with in that is that a lot of those things I think are going to happen within a municipality and not out in the county. So, but I can appreciate that most future land use plans that you see and look at, if they're not a county, they do have areas that say, you know what, this area has a great transportation corridor that's been built up and it's ready to develop. Let's tell people that the future of it, you know, we're open to commercial or industrial development in this area, right?
Either within a municipality or along the 30-35.
See, and that's the trick that I see with this one is we could color in the area between Ames and Nevada based on whatever is the current plan from Ames or Nevada for that area. But at the county level, you guys are probably never actually going to deal with those site plans as they come in or those rezonings or that kind of thing. It'll be within the city. But that's just that area. If there are areas of the county that are unincorporated, and we have not had a lot of feedback in this sense, but if there are some areas that are unincorporated that you guys know or want to say, this is an area where we'd really like to see additional rural residential. We think it's a good area for it. It's growing. We can put that in the map. I don't think Chris and I have any issues with doing that. We just haven't gotten any of that yet from the people that we've been meeting with. And the good thing is, Jerry's got some giant maps here. Maybe there are some areas that we can color tonight.
Because the two easy things we were able to color is what we think are ag land areas and what we think are the natural preserve areas. That's the two. Just as your consultant team, we can color those up for you guys, no problem. And we've had tremendous feedback on that. But yeah, just like Chris is saying, and I don't know anybody in the room can start there picking out little 40-acre chunks for the retail or the commercial or the industrial. And maybe frankly, part of the easy answer is let's not color any in. But it's that rural residential, which is probably the one you guys struggle with the most. And so,
because there's a market for it.
What I would love it if we thought there was. This is where it's not going to get annexed by city, and maybe it's like right in the area where you just are going through one right now or have gone through, where we start coloring those out. Because I respect what you're saying.
Yep.
On let's warn people in advance what we're thinking.
Well, and we do have those pockets of commercial and industrial in the county, and the discussion that I think we could have too is what areas could be expanded, you know, based on looking at topography, soils, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe some of those existing areas could be increased through the future land use planning process.
We'd love to have a mix if that's, I mean.
I'm not even saying that it would be completely appropriate to have a completely white and green map.
Yeah.
I mean, it could. But what I don't want to do is say to the public, we didn't put any commercial or industrial, any pink or red or whatever the colors are, on this map because we have these policy statements to handle those proposals. Because as long as you have a set of policy statements, people aren't very good at reading those and interpreting whether or not they really stand a chance at that. So, and oftentimes we're leading them down a path of rejection anyway. But if there's a color on the map, it is or isn't colored that way. You know, it gives them a pretty good indication right off the bat whether...
And they already have an idea of this is an area that, especially if you're looking for somebody that's specifically looking to come to Story County and is looking for that opportunity, maybe they're not anybody who owns the land right now. I mean, you know, maybe it's not the guy who wants to sell off his land and develop it. Maybe it's somebody coming in from overseas or, you know, out of state that says, we really want to locate somewhere in the county. Our business operates at in an unincorporated area much better than it would inside a city because of whatever reason. But Story County doesn't have any they don't have any places where they even have, you know, industrial future land use planned out,
right.
That kind of thing.
If we have no industrial or commercial shown on the map, on the future land use map, then it should be very long odds that regardless of what the policy statements say, that we will ever approve a change to commercial or industrial.
And somebody sitting in Florida looking at that plan that isn't, you know, wasn't part of this process or anything is immediately going to be like, well, it's not even on the map. Right? That idea.
Okay. Sure.
So maybe that's
great feedback.
Yep.
Something that maybe whether or not there's a color for, you know, future growth. Because if I'm looking at this map, I'm looking at where you're going to do any kind of industrial or any kind of development. You're going to be most likely. You're going to be within a municipality's growth zone, right? I mean, I'm looking at the overlap specifically between Nevada and Ames and south with Huxley and then all, you know, I mean, if you look at that, okay, so maybe there's an opportunity west or east of Nevada where there's a gap in the bubbles, right, to designate that as a color along that 30 corridor as potential county development space.
But wouldn't the county still, inside the bubbles, like along Highway 30, they still come to the county for the zoning?
The city has an extraterritorial review, so, you know, it's one of those. You send the subdivision application or rezoning or whatever it is to the city to review. But if it's not in the municipality, yeah, it still comes to you guys,
right.
and then to the board.
But that's part of the coordination that's happening between the county and all of those municipalities with this plan is, you know, the policy, that's where we get the policy statements, and, you know, we should be in agreement with those municipalities of, look, if we're going to do industrial-type development, we want it along corridors and not. Which would maybe most likely make sense for them anyway, but, you know.
Oh, I had two kind of speaking questions. What you guys are talking about right now is exactly some discussions we've already had. Projects that sort of actually meet later this week that have similar discussions. I think when we're talking about commercial and industrial development in unincorporated areas, one thing to keep in mind, the county does not provide infrastructure commercial or industrial development, to provide water, sewer, paved roads. All growth has to pay its own way. So typically, you do not see a lot of commercial and industrial development throughout the county because they're all looking for stuff that cities can provide them, and the county can't provide them. But the question becomes how do you set up land uses in a way that won't hit cities where industrial business wants to come in and develop in that area. So I think in kind of designating those uses throughout the entire county, one issue that I've constantly been coming up with is as a daunting task to identify exactly where those pockets of potential commercial industrial development, which ultimately will be in cities anyway, may well occur. So it's definitely a big discussion, but kind of starting that today.
Now we got 2 months of it, so it's not going to be.
We don't have to solve this.
Basically, the agenda for the next 2 months is this. That question right here is: what are those policies, and what does that map end up looking like?
So, in a sense, what we might think about doing is designating industrial or commercial, potentially industrial or commercial areas, to warn off people to not build other.
This is kind of where my thought process has been going. It's not fleshed out in any way, but potentially we may be able to kind of emulate the way we've done the improvement plan, which we can identify. You know, we have three different tiers in the improvement plan. We have the ag conservation area, and that's basically no man's land. We have the transition areas, which say that development may occur in this area, but basically, depending on the land use within that, you have to build it to city standards. So when the city wants to come sewer lines and whatnot. And then you have the urban services areas, the first plan basically designates those areas as no man's land until the city plans on coming in and annexing those lands and developing. So then the county essentially, through that process, isn't getting in the way of more urban style development. Have to build some amount of allowing these areas.
Yeah, and I think your guys' plan on that, you know, that original framework plan does do a nice job of then preventing or slowing leapfrog development, because now you're not trying to, as a city, leap over some rural development to get to now bare development land. So there's a lot of merit in that.
And I think it's important to note, too, our original plan, the current county development plan was originally adopted, was once we got done with the original plan, which took way longer than any of us wanted, and time and maybe years out of our lives, was to do that same planning process with every other community in the county. That was part of the original CP. What we kind of found through that process, though, is that there are only a few communities outside the CMA that are planning to grow outside their boundaries. Several of our smaller communities actually have a significant amount of land, vacant land, within their current boundaries that they can grow and proceed. So we kind of got to a point where maybe we just don't really need to plan for land uses, because most of these companies aren't going to be able to have their boundaries in the planning horizon. So one area that I've already discussed with consultants that I do see in the future growing considerably is around Hudson and Cambridge. That's kind of an area where it's been a concern of mine that we maybe need to have to be a little bit more specific with designated lands in those areas, and maybe perhaps North City as well, these areas built along I-35 corridor.
I-35, I-65, and then 69, and
you see the county doing a little bit of leading the way for those areas in that sense.
I think it's, at least as my personal philosophy as a planner, is I don't want to get in the way of city growth, especially when the county policies that, unlike Old County, we don't provide infrastructure for development. So we shouldn't be allowing a commercial style use that's going to be on a septic system and hooked up to rural water. And the city has to grow and figure out how to grow around that in the near future.
You don't want a sailor township, is what you're saying.
I would be concerned that by not designating some land on the map in a certain way, that you're saying it's possible anywhere. You know, like Dumb and Dumber. You're saying there's a chance because it's not on the it's not on the map. But there's policy statements in the plan to deal with it. So let's give it a shot anywhere.
Okay.
And then it comes before us and our supervisors, and it wastes our time and it wastes their time.
And I think we can communicate that by what you guys have already said, which is, you know, we encourage that commercial industrial by the county not providing services, that we encourage that development within the municipality growth zones, and or, you know, maybe in corridors where it would make sense, where there are services or things already.
While you were talking, though, the one thing I really wrote down is, to me, is we got to make sure that these are policies created for change, and so we're still starting with a face. So here's your base land use map of what we think's right, but if you want to change it, here are the policies that apply to either say yes or no to a change.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I see your point that if we're not showing some, although it may not be much, like this might be an industrial growth area, a commercial growth area, maybe we had designate, you know, a shaded area of a corridor, growth corridor.
And if you didn't just put the adjective potential, Right, and potential industrial, potential commercial, and maybe it's within the municipalities, right? Maybe it's not county development, but since this map covers the municipalities, right?
Maybe we coordinate that with those municipalities and say, this is where Story County and Ames, or Story County and Huxley, see potential industrial commercial growth.
Well, and even the original framework plan, although it didn't turn out that way, you can see those little ghosting in along all the rail corridors, and then there was language in there, if I remember right, from what I read, that those were potential industrial corridors because they would be in proximity to the rail.
Rail proximity business.
And while we were talking about this, and you know, so maybe one of those, this concept of the Ames fringe plan, you know, we do have land use plans, future land use plans for several of the communities. Maybe those get populated on this map.
Yep. Yeah, because Huxley's updated theirs recently. Story County's updating theirs right now.
I honestly think if I'm one of those municipalities, I would want that incorporated into the map. Because if you are an industry, some sort of commercial enterprise, and you're looking for some place to develop,
you'd be looking.
If I'm Cambridge or Huxley, and I'm wanting that, then I'd want put it on the map, put my color on the map, so that if somebody wants to build, they come and build in my town.
Yeah, you're. Land use map becomes a one-stop shop at that point if they're looking for an area next to a city in you know that a city is already planning for that as well.
Right. Even if your policies call for any future zoning change, like if it's designated commercial, it'll require a zoning change to commercial that can only happen upon mutual agreement of the county and the city area that it's in. Even if your policies say we dump that authority on the city. You're still saying we recognize this is a potential commercial area, and therefore everything else not.
Sure.
Right. But maybe that's the message. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe you want to start there, right? You want to start with these are where we want to encourage it. And if you really are bent on doing it someplace else, then you're going to need to get changes made. And that's. Maybe that is the message, right? Sorry.
Thank you,
Aaron.
Thanks, guys.
Well, good. Yeah, sorry. That's awesome feedback for us. I'm just trying to make sure I get it all written down so I don't forget any points.
It's being recorded now. I think the short answer is we want to start with the base, and then everything else is an exception. But then that means we need to be somewhat inclusive for what we want to predict. Pre-designate as the base usage of that land is, including some of those suggested alternative uses.
Mm-hmm. So, if I can, and please, we don't have to stop the conversation, but just to recap, just to make sure we don't miss any points, our plan of really showing, you know, no new land use colors, if you will, no, that's too minimalist. Still need to identify at least some areas where there'd be new rural residential, commercial, industrial growth. We already promised to populate areas for natural resource areas. We should consider showing each cities that we have, or cities that have future land use plans, their land use plan on the map, somehow designating that that's the city's land use plan. Incorporate that existing framework plan three-tier system or some hybrid of their three-tier system where we can have comments in there that if you're within this distance of the city, you got to build the city standards or you need to be working with the city instead.
Well, I think that's pretty clear on those maps, right? Here's the fringe areas or the future growth areas that are identified.
Yeah.
And And I think that my thoughts, I think that's where we say that's you know, you can be 2 miles outside of Ames and still have a, you know, quote, rural subdivision, but you get out into the unincorporated county land and out beyond that, and, you know, that's a discouraged use. And I don't know how we codify that, but, I mean, isn't that... I mean, by the zoning or by, but I think that that's what we want to encourage, right? Is by saying.
And so, realistically, the policies would reflect or are influenced by distance from urbanized areas, distance from the city limits. And so, as we get farther away, the policies would make different statements, or the policies would be distance based. Hey, we really don't want to see anything within 2 miles. Like this, or if you're going to be within 2 miles, do it this way, or, you know, we do want to change, or we won't want to change, or we'll consider a change, those kind of statements based on distance and proximity.
Right, and we've had these discussions before about, you know, when we look at the urban resident, I mean, sorry, the rural subdivision type developments, how do we... Because there's still going to be developers that go, I'm intentionally developing out in a rural area so that I don't have to build to the city requirements or whatever. But how do we say, okay, really, we maybe it's a 2-acre minimum lot size or 5-acre, you know what I mean? How do we...
And I think you put it right, we'll put it right in the comprehensive plan.
But it's also important that our current land use framework does not allow rezonings outside C1 limits without an amendment to the current plan.
Is that leave that?
Yeah. Everything outside of C1 limits from city, every single city is currently designated as ag conservation area in land use framework map. Those areas, rezonings are not allowed unless there's an amendment to the land use framework map. And in my time here, we've done one amendment to the land use framework map.
So I'm thinking...
any rezonings that you've seen are all inside of those tiers.
All right.
2 miles within the city.
Okay. So, like, there's the one that's on... One of the first ones that I was involved in, it was the Cameron School, Cameron State.
Cameron State was designated as rural residential in the Ames Urban Plan.
Okay.
So that was the only reason. Actually, if it had been a quarter mile to the west or to the north,
right, it would have been outside the
amendment to the Ames Urban Plan.
All right.
And it would have been going along both ways.
Okay. All right.
And I think realistically, after this comprehensive plan is in place, and there's that land use plan, is you will see it more often in that the second, because the second you adopt the plan, somebody's going to come in and want to change. It's just the way it works. You'll see it because, the you know, in addition to the rezoning, is you'll need to potentially amend the land use map. And so you're going to see it more often. And then that's a framework you'll have. You'll have these policies that say, yes, no, or this is
and
the thing.
And I'd rather see that, right? I'd rather. Mm-hmm. That's the my personal struggle. I grew up in California, so I'm not as familiar with a lot of the history and things. And so that's my own personal struggle, is trying to figure out, you know, if we don't, if there are areas that we want to preserve and protect, how do we do that without, you know, stifling growth, or, you know, not allowing people, you know, owners of land to do, you know, I want to do it in a way, and as Aaron pointed out, we need to let people know ahead of time, you know, how that works. So it's probably just me, it's making more sense, so thanks.
And I think you're still between, you know, what you're saying and what Aaron had said before is, you know, we still know that we need to identify some natural resource areas that are sensitive, and you guys can, you know, review it and make a recommendation to the county board supervisor. They adopt it that your land use designation is natural resource area per that the land use definition for natural resource area. Here are the, probably one, zoning district that it's compatible with, or two, then that's the enforcement. And so if somebody wanted to do something different, say, no, I really want it to be a rural residential, people have a right to petition as an owner, but it's got to go back and change that land use plan. So at least the land use plan in most properties is, you know, going to say ag or natural resources areas, and then we'll have a few of them that'll say, you know, rural residential or commercial industrial. And so I think what we can still do is maybe there's a few extra areas to color. So in most cases, hopefully it's holding true, but just in my experience, the second we come up with a plan, there will be somebody who wants to change something, and so you will have to periodically re-review it. Definitely like Polk County. You never had rezonings. And
well, with the, as time went on, it seemed like we got more and more requests to change. So
yeah,
I was kind of like the first few years.
Yeah.
It was quiet, usually. Quieter. Multiple jurisdictions work together. You already started, right?
Any other thoughts or comments for us? Any areas that we should focus in on, you know, changing land use from, you know, ag, natural resource areas? One of the comments was north and west of Ames was an area to focus on. That maybe there are areas in that section that will never be annexed or not annexed by Ames or Gilbert anytime in the near future that makes sense for rural subdivisions, whether or not they have a dry sewer system or built to city standard or not, that you would like us to go back and focus on. I heard a comment earlier about, you know, Highway 5 and US 30 corridors. That's okay if you guys don't have any ideas right now, because we'll go back and kind of pick through some of those areas, and then we can bring back some recommendations, some ideas, and even around some of our existing industrial and commercial areas in the county too.
You got an area, Ryan?
Well, I think the area specifically you mentioned is that North Dakota.
Okay.
That's designated. Conversations we had with the city, even though it's designated urban areas, which again states that no development can occur until that's brought to the city. Several property owners there that sound like they're never going to voluntarily annex. So it's kind of stifling how they grow out into the rest of that urban areas.
So, and I think that specifically that direction was not on the original growth plan. I think all of the things that the original plan went north and west, but the northwest direction I think was limited. Specifically, if you go back to that other
this one?
Yeah. So, let's see. So, yeah, if you...
So here's North Dakota.
Right.
North
so, specifically, we have George Washington Carver, where it curves from Bloomington to George Washington Carver on the right-hand side there.
Okay.
Now, directly... So, George Washington Carver is currently the city limit. And they just recently annexed, or are in the process of annexing on the west side of that road, and they're doing that.
So right there.
From Bloomington north.
That's all the city now.
is all inside the city now, and they're doing a development there.
Yep.
But when they were proposing that development, it was not apparently part of their growth plan. They'd already had approved for like north of Ada Hayden and west, and so there's a lot of discussion about that.
You're talking about in the city of Ames discussion?
In the city of Ames discussion, yeah. So they were basically resistant to going northwest. They'd already proved north and they'd already proved west. But there's a lot of problems with that.
Yeah, we also have between G.W. Carver and Cameron School also a sketch plan went through the city of Ames a month ago for another 114 lot subdivision, including multi-family housing and commercial there, and that's actually still inside the county and actually would require an amendment change of the first plan if they weren't able to bring it in. So there's a lot of pressure to develop that area.
Yes, and there's not a lot of infrastructure in that area. Gordon Rush and Carver's at one is a two-lane road, and you're building all of that, and no roads. I mean, that's an awful way to go.
Yeah, the map is updated, but I guess they already have probably about 10 houses being built on the west side of the road.
Over here.
Yes, right there.
It's all much safer.
Oh, and it's still a rural cross section, even though it's paved. It's
open ditches.
Yeah, it's no curb and gutter work by the city.
I think they've done all the improvements. It's all inside the city, so.
Okay.
It's all built to city standards.
Well, that would be an area of focus.
They're doing all of this development out that way. There's no road improvements. There's no bike trails. There's no, right, I mean, and originally when they were proposing that development, there's the retirement village development that now is going in north of Somerset. That was actually proposed to go there with some housing. And between the 5 meetings that I went to with the city, you know, a couple of years ago, when that was being proposed, and when it actually happened, the retirement village moved, and now it's all going to be like townhomes and, you know, multi-residential housing. So that, just off your screen, that big green area right there to the south.
The south, right here.
Right there. That entire section is now being developed.
Okay. Yeah.
So basically the southwest quarter of that is a retirement.
Right here.
This is the, what is it? It is like a retirement village. It's a very large facility where I think they do transitional housing from senior housing to assisted living, full care, all in one.
Okay.
Area. But these are all just 2-lane roads.
Yeah.
And then they head out, and then they want to do all of that, develop and add hundreds of houses that are going to all feed into Ames on one road.
Yeah, I am looking at the street grid here, and I see that it's, you got 2-lane roads, north-south. There's very little east-west movement.
Yeah, Washington Carver that comes around to stay. Well, yep. On the left side of that green block is still Stang. Rushing around, and on the right side is staying.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to come around that bend, and you're going to hit either one or the other to head toward the university or basically into Ames.
And that staying, what if it'll go through?
Subdivision roads.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is off topic now a little bit. I mean, these are the types of concerns that, as you know, living in the city, I also have with what's going on in the city planning. So the county
has a role in those fringe plans, and it seems like the city's not really paying attention. They're not providing the type of infrastructure that's going to support that kind of growth. So I see a role in the county for saying, look, you want to change the fringe plan, you've got to take care of the infrastructure.
No, I think I know we've got the overall somewhere here. Overall Ames land use plan, and I guess I'd be interested to see what their transportation plan says. So
you guys
look at that.
Well, you never want to do planning work in a city that has a planning college. Okay. No, that's. I think you've identified a great issue for us to wrestle with. Any other thoughts or concerns, whether around Ames, Gilbert, Story City, especially the whole Kelly, Huxley, Slater area that we should also be focusing in on? I just kind of think of the high growth areas, obviously. Got it around parts of Nevada between here and Ames.
I think the area between Ames and Gilbert is the focus area.
Okay.
Because there's also, so immediately north of Ada Hayden, there's a farm there that's being developed. They're paving the road that goes north of Grant Road. All the kids call it the pig road. I don't know what they... 530th and 560th and Grant Road that runs between, basically runs between Bloomington Heights and Gilbert. So part of that is being paved, and there's an allowance. So yeah, go north and west. So
right here?
Nope. That road. So that road between 190th and Bloomington Heights is being paved currently. And there's I don't know what you'd call it there, but there's intentions to build an 8-foot multi-use path alongside that, right, between 190th and Bloomington Heights.
Most of it's inside the city.
I believe so. So there's the road that's being paved, and then there's also an eight foot multi-use pedestrian path that's supposed to be developed at some point along there. But once you get past 190th, from 190th to Gilbert, is still going to be gravel. There's not necessarily provision for that continued. This is an opportunity where I see, hey, if we're talking about pedestrian use and trails, continue that trail that goes, everything north of Bloomington goes to the Gilbert School District. There's a ton of kids that, the high school is right on that gravel, is right at the end of that gravel road in Gilbert.
Great minds think alike. We did draw it on the plan.
All right, there you go.
I had to look real quick. I mean, I didn't come up with that. I'm not my mind, but somebody else did, so. In fact, that was one of the priority trail routes, still, came out of a couple of different groups that there's so much traffic on it, that's when we have the resources focus on it.
Well, and then even north and south, right? So Gilbert to Ames to Huxley to Max, I mean, and then down into Ankeny, and, you know, I mean, it's kind of a natural corridor that's being developed. And
also maybe the opportunity to get that in
later. Perhaps
just had that with the city of Ames here in discussions with Gilbert, providing some infrastructure from Ames to the city of Gilbert, right along that road. Basically, the sign to the city of Gilbert.
Nice.
That's not then perhaps just opportunity to put a bike trail right over here. Leanne just said that paving that road is in our capital purpose plan. For, let's see, what do you mean, 17?
You want me to step up to the microphone?
So I think the section from 190th on up into Gilbert, this gravel is scheduled, I think, for 2015. I think it's in the 2017 capital budget.
Okay.
Sorry.
I didn't realize that was wheelie.
But
okay.
So you see the Gilbert High School is right there. And it's basically at the end of that gravel road, and it's paved. And so the only way to get there from Ames, and there's a lot of students in Gilbert from that north side of Ames, is either you go up that gravel road or you go up George Washington Harbor and then drive 25 miles an hour all through the city of Gilbert. Or you go 69 up and then go across and then come south again. So it's a pretty unsafe gravel road with a lot of students driving on it, non-new drivers.
Okay. No, I'm just making sure we got all this marked. No, this is good stuff. I'm just trying to rectify between what that shows and then what I was thinking is the city limits. So.
I think the city limits are 190.
Just that.
You can't see the boundary.
Okay, got it.
So I kind of did a little halfway across there.
Okay.
So the green section there, A to Hayden, between there and 190th is also being developed.
Yep. It is.
And that's the only
thing.
Right. So.
It's not
with Google.
Yeah, they haven't updated it yet, so.
No. So you see that line, between A to Hayden, the green, and then 190th?
Yeah.
Is currently under development within the city.
Okay.
No, I think this map does reflect that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
I agree with that, right?
Yeah, that red trail is right on there.
Or proposed trail. Show how funny this is. That's a golf course. It shows as retail, so you have to go to commercial. Yeah. We're just looking at the current land use map, and it shows the golf course is commercial property, which, yeah, it's a private golf course, so it's probably taxed as commercial, but its use really doesn't feel like that, so.
All right.
Yeah,
the country club.
If you're good at golf, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, okay, so that wouldn't, it would not be me.
Playing.
Okay. Any other areas of focus? Even throughout the county in particular, because that's your institutional knowledge that we do not have on that. That's great. And we have, for reference, I think we can all congregate around the table if we want to point, and can we mark up the map?
Sure.
Point and look at a couple maps on the table. Anything you guys are comfortable doing?
Yep.
Maybe on a stretch.
Yeah, or take a break. And again, we don't have to solve all the problems, world's problems tonight. We can do that at the next meeting.
Yeah, I would say the next scheduled meeting we have with you guys is November, but we'll be meeting with we have the project team meetings, which Aaron's a part of that, so there's an opportunity to provide some input there. And then we have the task force meetings on September the 10th, and then there's one in October 2nd, I think at 8th, if I remember right.
Well, I attend the task force meeting, so
yeah.
I'll talk to you
tonight. No, I was just saying, if you guys, if you don't have an opportunity to make it to one of those, get a hold of Aaron or the Citizens Task Force. It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
before we come back in November, if something comes up before then. If not, we'll be back then.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Contact. Sorry. Well. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll stay with Jeremy a little bit. It's kind of a big, heavy discussion. If you have any ideas, you can share it with us before we push into contact.
That's what we have for official slides. We're out of slides, so sorry.
Yeah, I was getting vertigo from Chris here moving the match around, but it was good. It's good.
I just think it's cool how Google finally put that, I don't know what they must have put the LiDAR data in or something that you can, or done their own, that you can actually
look at topography.
That's kind of, I mean, that's pretty, it's pretty cool that yep, just hit shift. When you're in Google Maps, all you got to do is hold down shift and you can move stuff around like that. And not every place has it, but the ones that do, it's pretty cool.
Okay, so then it sounds like we're finished with new business. And then moving on to comments. Does staff have any comments?
I don't have anything.
Probably aired a bunch of those. And then so the commission members could make a comment. Seeing none, then I'd entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
So moved.